As always, I am not coming as a teacher, but as someone who is a seeker with my family to just be at the feet of Jesus and drink in his word in the power of the Holy Spirit, who's going to be the only one who teaches Christ. He's the only one who's going to teach anyone anything. So we look to him with all of our hearts, and we open up to his life within his body to bring the fullness of what the Spirit wants to say to us today. So Lord, thank you for making us a part of Jesus and his desires and the Spirit's burden for the heart of the Lord to be formed in his bride in such a way that will bring him one after his kind. Thank you for the specific verses that you go into. You land upon, Dove. You brood over those with a desire for Jesus to get what he needs, and the Father for getting his Son out of us. Oh Lord, there's an intimacy in the very communion of God's heart that we want to enter into today by the Holy Spirit and through the living Word. So we open ourselves to your ministry, God. We submit ourselves to you and to the Word that you have spoken and that you have given. We say, yes, Lord, have your way. We give this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's go to Hebrews. We're in chapter 10, and we're going to look in verse 1. So let's read there. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come. Let's just say that again. Good things to come. You know, I remember Jesus using that word. Mary has done a good thing unto me. Maybe it was one of those good things to come. Something about the bride. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, but not the very image of those good things. Not the very image. And so we want to pause on those two words, very image. What significance those words hold to our hearts after things that the Lord has released to us from his heart in these past years. And I recall a Saturday evening session 2 years ago in Ireland in our May conference, where we were having a sharing called The Story of God's Heart. God holding Adam in his arms, and that Adam didn't have the image, that his heart was so desiring to be in us, that he'd fallen, and the weeping and the tenderness, the heartbreak. I mean, that moment will resonate in all of our hearts who were there and who've listened for a long, long time. And I think about that word image now in a way that is so much different than some kind of doctrine or teaching. It's something born in the very bosom of God, in the very desirings of God's heart, in the very longings of his soul to have one after his kind. Let us create them in our image. Let us create them in our image, that we would be conformed to the image of the Son. I'm just quoting scriptures here. Each one of those verses are testifying of a desire in God's heart that we are part of, the fulfillment of, as we allow the Lord to be enthroned in us, to have his way. So the law has a shadow of good things to come, but not the very image of those things. They can never, with these sacrifices which they offered year by year and continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. So we have these elements of God's desire for these good things to come that the law cannot fulfill, that it can't bring us to the very image that he's desiring, and by sacrifices it can't though offering up sacrifices continually, year by year by year, fulfill those good things in that very image. So we have sacrifice and offering in the very same sentence here in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1 that speak of the good things, the very image, the deep desires of God's heart are all being spoken of in the same breath as offerings that are continually being given and sacrificed, but not making one mature, not bringing forth, not fulfilling their purpose ultimately, because they're shadow, because it's not the very image. And in this we have a whisper, a gaze and pointing in the direction of the wife of the Lamb. We're hearing just a shadow, just a glimpse, just a glimmer. But let's continue. Let's go into chapter 10. Let's go down to verse 4 and 5. And I'll continue reading therein. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats can take away sin. It's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats can take away sin. It's not possible that the blood, the old covenant law used in those types and shadows, that blood could not take away sin, could not satisfy the Father, could not atone before his heart, could not propitiate for mankind and their fallen image and their nature of sin. That blood of those bulls and those goats, it was poured out and they were slaughtered, but it was not going to satisfy the heart of God, who desired a good thing, a very image. Oh, can you feel into the heart of God from Genesis when he said, let us make him in our very image, all the way here to Hebrews saying, you know, man, these things cannot satisfy. It's not possible. So the writer of Hebrews quotes David prophesying in the Psalms. From Psalm 40, he quotes here in verse 5 of Hebrews 10, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, this is a quoting of Psalm 40, David prophesying therein, he saith, sacrifice and offerings you would not, but a body hast thou prepared me in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin. Oh God, you had no pleasure. You had no pleasure. Isn't it funny that instead of saying you were not judicially clean from your sin, you were not satisfied legally. But listen to the wording. In that blood and in those offerings, in that sacrifice, you had no pleasure. Now, this is coming out from a man who knows God's heart. You have no pleasure in that image. That's not a good thing. That's not the perfect. That's not the fulfillment. But look back at what he says there in the verse 5. But a body you have prepared for me. Now, you have to search those scriptures and in the volumes of the book, in the Holy Spirit's company, find out if what these things I am pondering in my heart are so. Because I can only give you what my meditations are and submit them before you just as a sister in the Lord. But listen, if indeed David was prophesying and it was the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and Jesus was saying to his Father, Father, you are not satisfied with all this priesthood that just gives you the blood of these animals, and it doesn't take away anything forever. They have to keep doing it, and you're never satisfied. They never even come into the very image of what these offerings were meant to bring us. There's nothing there for you, my Father. So blessed be your name. You have prepared a body this is, maybe it's Jesus Christ. You have to consider these things. You have prepared a body for me, the eternal Son, to go inside of and offer myself up through my blood. This is the Lamb of God speaking, through my sacrifice, through my poured out blood, through my life, you will be pleased. The Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus said, thank God you've given me a body that I can go dwell within that body. I can tabernacle as Jesus of Nazareth. I can give my spirit a home in that flesh. And then I can take that body and I can put him on the altar at Calvary. And through his offering, once and for all, you will be satisfied with that blood, with that sacrifice. I will give myself. For lo, I come to do thy will, O God. That's verse 9. Verse 10, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. There it is. Through the body, the offered body of Jesus Christ, we are sanctified once and for all. So there we have the offering of Jesus as the fulfillment of all the sacrifices and offerings, not just in that he did them, but that he fulfilled them as a satisfaction to the Father and as a way to bring us into the very image of all the things the law was testifying of. Now, we're not trying to have a Hebrews class here, but there is much here to be pondered, but you can take your time and go where only the dove lands and search these things out yourself. So many seeds. Just be with the Lord where he's at with you, and it's okay. Don't have to be understanding every word for the Spirit to bring forth the life, the bread he has, the fresh oil he has for you today, just like we've been talking about. Okay, so we find here Jesus coming as a man, being given a body to dwell in and a body to be offered up, through whom the sacrifice would be received. Now, once Jesus died and gave himself on Calvary and was offered as that sacrifice and that fulfillment, he made a way for us to enter in to the holiest, to enter in to become what 2 Peter tells us, partakers of his divine nature, to begin to not just be saved from our sins, which is the sin offering, but to be saved and redeemed unto God. There's a sweet savor offering there, that we might be partakers of his holiness, and that we might be partakers of his divine natures, and that we might bear in our bodies, his dying, the dying of the Lord Jesus, being born in our bodies, just like Jesus was given a body to bear the eternal spirit of the Lamb within him and give himself. So his body was offered so that we might become now his body that bears that same spirit of the Lamb. Well, we see that progression from his body to us as his body here in verse 22. This is chapter 10 still of Hebrews. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Listen to those words, because they'll come in later as important. Let us draw near with a full assurance of faith. A true heart, but full assurance. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. And listen to this now. This is the important bit that we want to focus on right at this time in this verse. And our bodies washed with pure water. There it is again, our bodies. This isn't talking about the body of Jesus of Nazareth before he went to Calvary. This is verses that are happening after his death, after the cross, after he rose again, after Christ is in us as believers. And he's saying that we need to draw close now to God with a certain type of faith that has an assurance behind it. Assurance of what? Well, that's what we're going to look at. And our hearts sprinkled with blood from an evil conscience, and our bodies, our bodies washed with pure water. These are actions of preparing a sacrifice for the altar. You'll have to look that up in the Old Testament and see if that's true. But I believe these are actions of our bodies being prepared to bear that same spirit that is Christ in us, the same Christ who in his own body on Calvary bore that spirit and poured out his blood and gave his life. Now he is in us, and we in our bodies are being prepared. Our bodies are prepared to bear the offering, to bear the lamb. Well, that once again lends itself to the church being a wife to the lamb, being a temple for the lamb to give himself through again. So we have a transition here. So let's go now to chapter 11 in Hebrews and see if that same theme continues to resonate in the verses. So in chapter 11 of Hebrews, we see a whole bunch of saints, and we're all really familiar with these verses in this chapter, but we read through chapter 11 and we see saint after saint after saint after saint who has faith. Remember those words, full assurance of faith, our bodies washed, being prepared for being given. But faith, by faith, by faith, all these people going through tremendous things, but being with the Lord, bringing forth the Lord. Excuse me, my throat is sore. up into the very end chapters, and the very end verses, here in Hebrews, where you find people by faith being tortured, not accepting deliverance, by faith going through trials of cruel mockings and scourgings and bonds and imprisonments. By faith they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain, they were slain, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. All of these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, but God, having provided some better things. We know those. So, but we see brothers, if we could put it very, very simply, brothers and sisters in Christ who bore in their bodies that same Jesus who bore in his body that spirit that was the acceptable sacrifice and offering to the Father, the spirit of the Son, the nature of the Lamb that was in Christ when he was a man is in his body now in us, in our mortal flesh. That these people literally let Jesus live and die through them. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10 tells us, "For I bear in my body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that death working in me, that his death works in me so that his life can work in others." Again, my body, his dying. My body, Jesus' life. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Not I, but Christ liveth in me. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. This treasure is Christ. Christ crucified. Christ who goes through major trials, but brings glory to God. Comes out of it like a sweet savor of life out of death. A death that gives life. A giving of selflessness that is pure and filled with love. Glory to God. The offering the Father loves and receives. That's supposed to be in our bodies now. And we see that here in our brothers and sisters, what they're called in chapter 12 is a great cloud of witnesses who let the dying of the Lord Jesus be in their bodies, who let the Lamb live and give and die through them. Yeah. So here we go. Chapter 12 in Hebrews continues in this same theme. Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with this great cloud of brothers and sisters who let the Lamb be offered through them. Great cloud of martyrs is really what it says there. This great cloud of martyrs. You say, it says witnesses in my Bible. Yeah, but the word witness means martyr. So you might as well just cross through the word witness, because it's not called door-to-door handing out pamphlets. It's called shining forth the image of Christ unto the death. Martyrs, showing forth the Lamb slain within our bodies, shining that light out of our darkness. Glory to God. It's all there. You look at the context of 2 Corinthians. You study it. It's there. But the Bible doesn't tell us to just keep looking at our brothers and sisters and our fellow saints that have gone with Jesus and bearing his life. But in chapter 12, verse 2, it says, let's look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, what Jesus might this be? We could go, well, yeah, that could be any Jesus. Jesus the healer, Jesus the Lord on high, who has all power and omniscience to deal with every problem, every curse, every situation the earth might hold. Well, continue reading the sentence, because it tells us which Jesus, if you will. There's only one, but it's the Jesus who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame. That's the Jesus we look to. The Jesus who said, thank you, Father, for giving me a body so that I could provide you the blood and the sacrifice that would satisfy you, that would bring you pleasure, that would fulfill all these types and shadows. Glory to God. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God because of the manner in which he gives himself. This is the Jesus. Verse 3 says, consider him. Don't consider you. Don't consider Brother Bob and Sister Susie in chapter 11 of Hebrews. Just consider the fact that as humans and born-again believers, they allowed Jesus, the Lamb, this Jesus, to be in them. But look, look at Jesus. Look at him. Consider, and again, consider him. In what way consider him? Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. Weary and faint. Because the pressure of bearing his dying in our mortal flesh can begin to wear down on us, can begin to affect us, cause us to faint, even in our minds. Consider him who endures such a great contradiction of sinners against himself. He strove unto blood. We haven't in that. He's really saying, consider this Jesus that is in you, and consider how he gives and how he does it, and under what conditions and in what manner. And in verse 15 of the same chapter 12, it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God and a root of bitterness come because of the hard things we're going through. Seeing, looking unto Jesus, that's verse 2, the one who endured the cross, considering him, verse 3, the one who endured such great contradiction of sinners against himself, and looking diligently unto Jesus so we don't get bitter, like he did not get bitter, even though he was on that incredibly bitter cross. Looking unto the one who is inside of us. So let's go to Revelation chapter 5 now. Remember, our title is Weep Not, Behold. That's straight out of Revelation chapter 5, verse 5. All right, so let's go to chapter 4 here, and I there's just a few points that I want to make in regards to the things we've just looked at in Hebrews, but how they flow into the progression from church to bride that's found here in Revelation chapter 4. So beautiful. So we talked last week about those beasts bathing in that glassy sea and immersing themselves into that liquid Lamb, and wash your bodies with pure water. Amen. They were doing that. They were being washed with that pure water, prepared to let the Lamb be enthroned, prepared to be living sacrifices by His nature, prepared to be one with Him as a wife, bearing the Lamb within, enthroned and filling. You see it in the ends of the book. This boy, these beasts, they're just bathing in that spirit. Glory to God. They're not learning something. They're being prepared as offerings. Prepared as offerings. Prepared to let that Lamb that's on that throne above the glassy sea, beyond the throne, within their hearts. Beautiful. Beautiful. And we said that they're full of eyes. Full of eyes that see Him and not themselves and not the earth. But they see Him. In verse 8 in chapter 4 of Revelation says it, the four beasts had each of them six wings, and they were full of eyes within and without, it says in other places. And they're crying, "Holy, holy," continues. They're giving glory and honor and thanks to this Lamb, and the elders are worshiping and casting crowns. In verse 11 says, "And Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power," and listen to these words, "Thou hast created all things." All things are for Thy pleasure. For Thy pleasure they are. For Thy pleasure they were. For Thy pleasure they are created. Wow, this is very similar to what the psalmist prophesied in Psalm 40. "For in those offerings Thou art not pleased. It has not pleased Thee. But for all these things, in heaven and earth, everything that's created and was created, it's for Your pleasure." These beasts' eyes are seeing not just a Lamb, but they're looking, I have it written here, into His heart and desires. They're not just looking at the Lamb. They're looking into the Lamb. Oh, for eyes that don't just behold the Lamb sitting there, but look into His heart and into the things that motivate Him and move Him, into the things that burden Him and draw Him out. Father, even so, if it be Thy will, Father, if it bring You pleasure, the things that burden His heart. These beasts are awakening to His desires. They're awakening to the things that are important to Him because they've been beholding His heart with their eyes. They've been bathing in His pure water in a living way, and they've been finding the things for which everything was created, for which everything exists. And those things are intimately wrapped up with the very pleasure of God. And as we have just searched in these past verses in the Psalms and in Hebrews chapter 10, these things of God's pleasure are intimately wrapped up with the right offering, with the right blood, with a certain son being given, a certain lamb being offered, a specific sacrifice, shedding its blood and giving its life for Thy pleasure. And so they begin to perceive that it's for one after His kind that He longs for us to enter in, and it's for the Father to have sons in the very image of the Son, who will offer themselves in the very nature of that same Son with sacrifices that will be as a sweet savor unto the Father and acceptable to God. Through Jesus Christ, we offer these things a savor acceptable to, you know, an acceptable sacrifice. Paul speaks of these things in his epistles, these very, very things. Christ in us being that acceptable one. So these beasts, they're seeing into God's heart. And they continue here in chapter 5 now. "And I saw," their eyes are continuing to probe into God's being, to look past the surface into the heart, past the teaching into the purpose, past the surface into the purpose, past the hands and into the heart. Amen. Past the imagery into the heart behind the imagery. These beasts are seeing what religion will never see. What elders may not even see because they're too caught up in church government or position or beasts. They're just looking into him. They're just looking and losing themselves in him. He's it. He's all. They're in the throne and around the throne. The only ones who've gone that deep in. And they notice in this hand, in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, a book written within and without. You know, it's so funny because they notice what's in his hands, and for some reason the dove, the Holy Spirit just I've never had him do that before. He paused on that verse and said, listen, I've always just read that like, oh yeah, there's something in the right hand of the one on the throne, and that's just part of Revelation chapter 5. The Lord was like, no, there's a heart behind. There's some reason that was important to the heart of God, that book that was in his hand, that was written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. The fact that became the center focus at this point in chapter 5 and verse 1 has to do with God's heart. It has to do with God's needs. They're seeing something beyond just a prophecy or visions, deep spiritual. They're seeing, why was heaven weeping? Why is heaven weeping over a book that can't be opened in God's right hand? Why? Why is heaven in deep sorrow? Why does heaven, who sees the face of God, those close to him here in this imagery, why are those that are close to God and seeing him, perceiving him, near unto him, why are they weeping over this book not being able to be opened? Why is that such a deep sorrow in heaven? Holy Spirit, why? Verse 2, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book? Who is worthy to loose the seals? A loud angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy? And no man in earth and in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, not even to look on the book. Verse 4, and I wept. Much. I wept much because no man was worthy to open, to read, not even to look thereon. So, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, why is it so deep in your heart that this book be opened and be opened properly? What is it here that we feel beyond the words into your heart? Show us. Verse 5, and one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, that's the name of our sharing. Weep not. Behold. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. The root of David, who prophesied these things in Psalm 40. He has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the first time in the book of Revelation that the Lamb appears. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. It's the first time it just says the word Lamb of God in the book of Revelation. And what does he do in this first mention of the lamb? Verse 7, and he comes and takes the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. He takes that book.
Verse 8, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts, the 24 elders, they fell down. They fell down. They fell down before the Lamb, and they took harps. They took harps. They took golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. They sang a new song. What was the song they sang? You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy to open the book, to take the book, and to open the seals. Because you're the one who was slain. It's your blood that has redeemed us unto God. And by your blood, every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, you, by your blood, by your life, by your sacred lamb nature within us, has made us unto our God, kings and priests. And by you and through your blood and in your nature within us, we shall reign on the earth. This is powerful. Where did it start with? Weeping over a book that couldn't be opened. Discovering a lamb who could open it. And something rising. Remember the word faith that we kept pointing in Hebrews chapter 10 and 11? Faith, 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 by faith, by faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Who is worthy to open the seals? Who can overcome the situations? Who can endure the cross? Who can despise the shame? Who can overcome in these trials and tribulations that are greater than us? For thou art worthy to open the seals. Thou wast slain. Thou hast by thy blood. They sing a song. They fall down before the Lamb. They offer prayers like incense. They say in this faith, Jesus, we believe that you can do it. You are our life. You are the Lamb. You are the right offering in whom the Father is pleased. You are the fulfillment and the exact, the very image the Father longs for in us, the Son of His love. You are the acceptable sacrifice, and we have faith in you. Weep not. Behold the acceptable sacrifice, because He's in you now. He is in you. Seven churches who cannot overcome. Seven churches who came up through that door. Seven churches who, as beasts, began washing in the Word, washing away old identities, and just beholding the Lamb as their new life, their everything, their all. Weep not, because that same Lamb can overcome all those things that were crushing you. Faith. Looking unto. Consider not. Diligently looking. Weep not, behold. Lord, I can't do it. It's too much. I'm crushed. I'm overcome. It's bigger than I am. I can't handle it. It's more than I can bear. Weep not. Behold the Lamb of God. He can open the seals. He can endure the unleashing of those tribulations that come with every one of those horsemen that each seal releases in every situation and dire thing that is cast upon the earth with that opened seal. The Lamb of God within His saints, just like He was in Jesus, in the body of Jesus of Nazareth on Calvary, just like He is in the bodies of those saints in Hebrews 11 who bore that same Jesus in their flesh, so will He be in us as we walk through our daily trials and tribulations. Weep not. Behold the Lamb of God. Faith, faith in Him. Consider who? Consider the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. Consider Jesus who endured the cross. Consider the dying of the Lord Jesus is in you. That's the sacrifice. You have the Lord Jesus. And He's saying to those seven churches, guys, there is a hope. There is an answer. God has taken care of your needs. He hath provided a Lamb. Jehovah Jireh hath provided the Lamb. Behold upon the throne the Lamb that was slain, opening the seals and enduring, overcoming by His nature. What does it say in Revelation? They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Glory to God.
they beheld the Lamb and overcame by the Lamb. Hallelujah. Even loving not their lives unto death, but letting this true witness happen in their lives. Jesus, the acceptable one, the Son of the Father's love, the very image that he's longed for from the beginning, the sweet savor, the right kind. He's in us. And he, if we put our faith in him and not in ourselves, if we behold him and not our situations, he will overcome again and again. Again and again and again. Faith. Faith in the Lamb. Faith in him. Glory to God, Lord. We just thank you for providing the Lamb. May we behold the Lamb and weep not over our crises, over our weakness, over our reactions, and over our old image and all that it is and its unacceptability. Thank you that the new has come. The true has come. The real, the fulfillment. Jesus, you're not the shadow. You are the true, and you have come, and you have come in us. And you will come forth, even so come, Lord Jesus. Maranatha, the Spirit and the Bride, they cry it out. Where? In the middle of the trial. In the middle of the crisis. In the middle of the terrible, gut-wrenching. Even so come, diligently looking, beholding, keeping the gaze fixed, our eyes on Jesus, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Lord, inscribe these things into the government of our beings. Renew us in the spirit of our minds. May our hearts turn and turn and burn and yearn and set themselves upon the Lamb when we fail, when things are too much for us to bear, when the seals are opened and we cannot overcome or endure. May we look unto Jesus. May we put our faith in Christ in us, Lord. You are the hope of glory. Christ in us is the hope. Jesus, you're our hope. And we don't have to weep. We can rejoice. We can sing. Worthy is the Lamb who can open the seal. We can sing. We can worship. We can glorify you. Thank you, Lord, that you've changed our mourning into dancing and our weeping into joy simply because you're the one who can overcome in us. And we give you all the glory. Continue to work this in our lives. We so thank you, Father, for providing your Son. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.